So this is section 3, preparation, cooking and presentation. Within this section, we're going to be looking at all the different things that you've learned from a practical perspective. So lots of your practical skills will be assessed within the theoretical content of this section. Okay, so we're going to start on page number 30. And as you can notice on page number 30, you've got lots of different vocabulary terms. These are cooking terms, terminology terms. And in essence, guys, what you need to do with these, very simple, is take each one, write it on a little scrap of paper, write the meaning on the back, and then just test yourself. Flip a piece over. What's that word? What does it mean? Look at the other side. What is the word? Therefore, what's the definition? And just keep turning them over, until you can recognize either the term or the definition, regardless of which side that you're looking at. Okay. Let's go over to page 31. Now we're looking at fish and poultry. Now in the exam, you're highly likely to get a sort of question that's going to ask you to give in-depth information about an ingredient. It might be meat, it might be eggs, cheese, milk, fish. But regardless of what comes up, you need to be thinking about the different kinds of things that might be relevant for any of those ingredients. So for example, what nutrients are found in those ingredients? How are they stored? How are they used within dishes? What different methods of cooking have we got? Can we produce hot and cold meals? Are they sweet and savory? These are just examples. So as you're going through your different sections within this chapter, just highlight some of the key things that are those standard things that are going to come up in lots of different forms of questions. Okay, so for example, if we look down through meat and poultry, it talks about how it needs to be prepared and cooked differently. All right, so we've got this tough cuts of meat that are chopped and stewed until tender. That would be for things like casseroles and stews, if you've got a very hard, very sort of tough and chewy piece of meat that's got lots of fat in it. Then we've got bigger joints of meat and whole birds are often roasted. By birds, it means things like turkey, duck, chicken. By joints of meat, it's talking about things like topside of beef or whether it's shin of beef or something that's quite big. Sometimes it might even have a bone going through the middle as well. Tender pieces of meat and chicken can be grilled. These are the kind of expensive pieces of meat. So things like chicken fillet, things like fillet steak, sirloin steak, and these are the kind of things that we can cook in a frying pan in a very quick space of time, and they're still juicy and tender. Remember, the cheaper the cut of meat, the lower the heat and the longer the time we cook it for. The more expensive, the shorter amount of time we cook it for, and the higher the temperature we cook it at. Now, meat and poultry are both described as a high-risk food, and we've already done that in our chapter one. And high risk, as you remember, is high protein foods that are highly susceptible to bacterial growth. All right, so we need to be very careful when we're working with things like chicken, because obviously they carry lots of bacteria and can cause food poisoning very easily. And because of this, going back to our hygiene rules, they should be stored in the fridge, remember at the base of the fridge, covered and making sure that they're well away from cooked meat. Okay, and it just talks there as also about how we need to check that certain meats are obviously thoroughly cooked, whilst other meats can be served pink. But clearly, using a temperature probe and testing for 75 degrees as our core temperature is going to be the safest way to ensure that any meat is safe to eat. All right, moving down to fish, we've got different classifications of fish. Fish is a very popular exam question. So you need to, within this section, notice that we've got different classifications of fish and they've given you examples for each. Again, fish is a high-risk food. It talks about how it should be stored in the fridge. And it also mentions how to check to see if fish is fresh. Now, a really good thing to do for both the meat section and the fish on page 31 would be to produce a revision card. And now would be a good time to pause the CD or whatever you're listening to and make a revision card for meat and poultry and one for fish. Okay, so as we've said, with all of these different sections that have questions on types of ingredients, so meat, fish, when we turn over to page 32 and 33, we've also got eggs now, we've got dairy products, fruits and vegetables, and you could get any big question, sort of like an 8-point question on any of these that have come up. So you need to make sure, again, like we said before, looking at those typical things that have been provided in the revision guide, what kind of things are going to be inclusive within that answer. So I might comment again about storage, about nutrition, how to cook, what we might serve it with, hot and cold, desserts, mains, starters, puddings, examples of dishes, how we prepare the ingredients. There's lots of different things. All right, so take your time, have a look through fruits and vegetables. You've got cereals, flour and pasta there. Eggs is on the other page. Eggs is a really popular question, so we're going to talk about that just a second, and dairy produce as well. Now notice on both the eggs and the dairy produce, again, we've got information that relates to safety of the ingredients and how we want to make sure that they don't become problematic, because again, high risk ingredients, protein content, and highly susceptible to bacterial growth. So we want to make sure that we don't give raw eggs to pregnant women, because they can cause major problems to small children or to elderly people. Also, with regard to any sort of dairy produce or eggs, we want to be checking things like sell-by dates before we use them. But really, guys, any big question on eggs, dairy, fruit and veg, cereals, fruits and pasta, you've got to be thinking about how you actually use those ingredients. So think of real examples, actual recipes that you've cooked where you've used those things. Now, the most significant part on page 32 at the base is where it talks about convenience products. Convenience products is a lesson that you should have had within your course. And clearly, this is a very important one, because you can have potentially lots of different sorts of questions on it. So for example, a typical question might be, what is a convenience product? And if you look there, it says convenience foods is anything that's ready prepared. It's any element of the method that has been done for you. So that can be as purely and simple as a washed lettuce or peeled tomatoes, yeah, that you buy in a tin. Now, convenience products, on the other hand, can be right at the other end, and they can be a completely ready-made meal. Right, so lots and lots of chefs use a wide range of convenience products. Not just lazy chefs, even some of the best chefs in the world are going to buy some things that have been done for them. For example, phyllo pastry or puff pastry, which is actually better than if they were to make it themselves. Okay, now, the other sorts of questions you might get on convenience pastry might be things like, outline the advantages and disadvantages, or why would a chef use convenience pastries or convenience products? So you need to actually think about categorizing those answers, okay? And if you produce a revision card on convenience products, you need to be thinking, what is a convenience product? What are some specific examples? And what are the advantages and disadvantages of using them? Again, all these notes should be in your books. So go back over your books, find those notes, and identify those key components and put them into a revision card. Now would be a good time to stop your CD and do that. Okay, turning over to page 34, we're now looking at some very specific elements related to cake making methods and pastry skills. All right, so we've got the creaming method, the whisking method, rubbing in, and melting method. Now, the most important thing with these is that, number one, you identify what ingredients are being combined together. So, for example, the creaming method is sugar and butter. Number two, you're identifying the success criteria of the outcome, right? So what should it look like when it's finished? So if this is rubbing in method, it should be rubbing into fine breadcrumbs. The third thing we should be looking out for each time is are there any sort of specific do's and don'ts, some sort of key tips, if you like, to being successful? So for example, when making scones, using cold butter straight from the fridge, making sure that your hands are cold, rolling out early in the morning so that the room is not hot. Making sure that with regard to each of these methods, you understand which recipes they're relevant for. And obviously with the rubbing in method, that's actually a massively wide range of recipes, because it includes all of our different pastries as well. So learn each of the methods, pretty straightforward. And the sorts of questions that you might get with regard to that content might be a missing word style question right at the beginning of your paper, where it might give you some words, and then you're asked to put them in the right place. So it's pretty straightforward content, and you should know this stuff pretty much off by heart. Okay, a little bit more complicated. Down at the bottom, we've actually got some information about sources. And again, you should have done a theory lesson on this. But you need to know how to make a roux sauce. This is your white sauce where you melt down some butter, you add some flour to make a paste, and then you add milk gradually over a low heat until the sauce thickens. So you need to make sure that you know how to make one of those and be able to use it within an answer. Again, very typical, all the stuff on page 34 would be at the very beginning of your paper and would be fairly straightforward questions. So an easy content should be something that you should go over a few times, but not focus on, because it won't be within the large questions. Okay, page 35, it talks about the making of dough. And I want you to think of dough as bread dough. All right, so you need to know the function of all the different ingredients within how you make bread, okay, and also how to either enrich the dough, and obviously our example here is Chelsea buns, which you've all made, but also maybe how to manipulate the dough and how to change it, which would then demonstrate how versatile it is. So for example, turning bread dough into a pizza would be about discussing how we make a tomato sauce, add it on top of the bread dough, which has been rolled out in a circle shape, and then toppings are added. Okay, the last element on page 35 is about pastry, okay, and the various different types of pastry. You would have done lots of different forms of pastry within your actual practical sessions, from your baking exam to maybe the puddings that you've done within your second exam. But again, make sure you go over this and produce a revision card covering the key components within that pastry section, okay? If you notice within number two element within the actual pastry blue square on your page, you've got lots of the rules, lots of the key things, the method things that would enable you to make successful pastry. And again, this should be pretty straightforward revision because you should know this off by heart already. Right, now all the content we've covered so far within section three is either for quite small questions or for our sort of medium length questions. The only big questions that you might have would again be related to specific ingredients and why they're important to a chef. And sometimes these ingredients are referred to as commodities. So why is egg an important commodity for a chef? It's just another word for ingredient. Now, you've obviously got questions on 36, 37, 38, and 39, in which you can test yourself, but you can also refer to the revision PowerPoint, and you're looking at section three to test yourself against a wider range of questions. Okay, moving on to page 40, and now we're looking at cooking methods. And again, these are all the different things that you should have learnt throughout your practicals during the course of the last 2 years or two terms, depending on which year group you're in. Now, with regard to these different things, again, making little revision cards is a good way to go, but you might find that a lot of this stuff is just common sense and you know it all already. So have a little read through, maybe highlight a few keywords. Okay, we've got information about different forms of wet cooking methods, so boiling, simmering, poaching, stewing, and braising. And really, guys, this is really straightforward stuff. So if you don't know an element of it and it's new to you, then make a revision card. If you do know it and you're very confident, just go through and highlight your keywords and just spend 5 minutes doing that now. Okay, now you've gone through and highlighted all of those wet different methods, but microwaving as well. We're now looking at page 42 and 43, and now we're looking at frying methods. Now, obviously, when we fry, we actually fry in some form of fat, okay, that's normally hot. And the idea behind frying and the difference between that and our wet cooking methods, were about tenderizing and softening, whereas frying is often about crisping up and getting color. So, for example, frying might be as purely simple as frying some onions, which we're trying to just saute within a pan, might maybe a little bit of oil. But frying might also be frying a steak. Okay, frying sometimes is just when it's in a little bit of oil and it's just about one side, and then we pick it up and turn it over, like, for example, a pork chop. But frying can also be deep frying, which means it's completely covered in oil and therefore all the sides are cooking at the same time. An example of that would be chips. Now, if you go down through each of these frying cooking methods, you're going to find that there are lots and lots of pieces of information that are very useful. Some of these are about technique, some of these about health and safety. And again, when you go down through, just highlight the key words that stand out. And then maybe, as a revision technique for this, produce for pages 42 and 43 a mind map, which is about cooking methods. And then off each little spoke, you'd have one spoke for frying, one for shallow frying, one for deep fat frying, so on and so forth. Just some key words coming off each of those little spokes that then mean you're going to have one mind map that's going to cover all of your different cooking methods. Okay, and just make sure that you pick up on some of the small bits of detail. So, for example, grilling is probably the healthiest way of cooking meat because it means the fat's going to come out of the meat and it won't go into the food that we're going to eat. All right, pick up on some of the things like within deep fat frying, the use of really hot oil is important, or else the oil is going to actually soak into the ingredients and they'll end up soggy and very unhealthy. Okay, now again, you've got questions on from page 44 and 45 in the book, which you can test yourself, but you can go back to the revision PowerPoint as well and look at the questions in section 3. But all the questions that we've just looked at from page 40 to 43, all of that information is really simple information, and all of it are what we call our short format questions. Okay, so the maximum you're looking at is maybe 3 or 4 marks that would relate to one of those headings. So it's very unlikely that it would be in an essay format. And you would basically be asked to define something, give some examples, give reasons why we would use a certain method when it comes to cooking certain types of foods and what the outcome is that we would expect to achieve from doing that method. Okay, the last part of this little section is on food presentation. Okay, so if you turn to page 46, you should know a fair bit about presenting food because this is something you had to do for the exam. And in terms of how we do it, we should be thinking about all the things that a chef would think about if they're looking at foods and they're thinking, how am I going to put this on a plate? How am I going to make it attractive for my customers? The whole point of presenting food is to make it look good, is to make customers want to eat it and therefore generate those levels of excitement that mean that people are going to have a good experience and going to enjoy themselves and want to come back again. Remember that the most important meal to present really well would be our puddings, because they're the things that are creating that lasting impression that hopefully will then generate repeat sales where people will come back because they'll go, wow, my pudding was amazing. Okay, so these are the sorts of things that a chef's going to try to do. All right, they're going to try and get some color within the food that they're presenting. Now, if you think about foods that are all white, so for example, mashed potato, chicken, white sauce, cheese, these are very pale sorts of colors. That's going to create a very bland sort of look, especially if it's on a white plate. Everything might look a little bit gray and a bit boring and a bit dull. But by introducing some spinach in there, that's going to give it a vibrant green, maybe some red peppers, a tomato sauce, maybe even getting colour within the actual meat or the fish that we're trying to cook and create some golden sorts of crispy edges. These are things that are all going to improve the appearance of the food and stop it from being pale and bland. Now we can also use things like garnishes, and garnishes might be a sprig of herbs, it might be a lemon wedge. Imagine that bright yellow, really vibrant, that's going to sit on a plate with your fish and chips, okay? And you can also, we can also use a colour of a plate that's going to look good, but also again, you know, sauces can add some real boost of colour. Imagine like a vanilla cheesecake with a raspberry cutie, that bright red is going to stand off a great deal from that creamy vanilla cheesecake colour. Now, texture, if I'm presenting food, I want to make sure that my food has got a variety of textures. So it's got contrast. I don't want it to be all wet. I don't want it to be all dry. So if we're serving something like a soup, to serve it with a bread roll is going to give something dry to go with the wet. Ice cream that's got a wafer, again, something dry and crunchy to go with the smooth ice cream. All of these things are going to help improve our product and our food and create a nice, interesting balance within the palatability of the dish and obviously the mouthfeel. Okay, flavours. Having a wide range of flavours. If everything tastes the same on the plate, it's going to be a bit boring and a bit dull. But we need to make sure we get the balance right. So for example, if we're putting chilli into something, is it because we want it to be really hot or do we want just a slight kick? Because if we put something really hot and all the other flavours within the dish are subtle, they'll probably be overpowered by the chilli. So making sure that it's nicely in balance, also making sure that the dish is well seasoned and so that it has a pleasant smell, that we're using the right herbs, right spices, right different things to actually generate a successful end product. Okay, shape and layout of the meal. When you came to do your exam, you would have been learning about things like the top hat method, maybe the clock method. We want to avoid smiley faces at all costs when we're putting food on a plate. But thinking about how we can maybe cut pieces, how we can stack pieces, the number of items, the number of components. We want to make sure we can see the plate at all times so that the ingredients actually look interesting rather than it's just a great big mess and a pile of food. All right, so the shape and the layout of your foods, massively important. Temperature, making sure that food is served on hot plates and that it actually gets to the customer how it should be. Again, cold food on cold plates, we don't want ice cream to melt because it's been sat on a warm plate. Okay, and then obviously the timing of the food is really important as well, because we don't want customers to sit there and wait. They'll end up complaining and they'll be really, really annoyed. So with that sheet there, that page 46 on food presentation, might be again a good idea to do a little mind map about presentation, and you can add to it other things that you may think are important as well. Okay, last part of section 3 is page 47, and it just covers information about providing for people's needs, and it just goes through a little bit about special diets but special groups of people as well, and within this just highlight a few key words. Okay, last element of this section before we're just going to summarize is about how we would go about presenting a buffet of food. Now this is a really good working example of the information found on page 46, and this whole section you should produce a little revision card on because it's highly likely that you'll get a question about buffets, all right? It's a very popular exam question, whether it's about buffet service or whether it's about how food is presented at a buffet. This one comes up a lot, all right? So take your time and go through this, all right? You've got, it talks about how we've got different shapes, how we can establish different sizes, different heights. It talks about how we lay out the food, having spaces, maybe even sections of the food, so we can have spicy food in one section, subtle food in another. Maybe even have little labels would be a good idea to actually name what each different food is. Color, adding garnishes, herbs and slices of lemon, making sure that our hot food is hot and our cold food is cold. Again, talking about the things from page 46. All right, and making sure that we provide for the customer needs, so providing utensils for each dish, making sure that each food is easily within reach of the customer. Sometimes it might be a good idea to actually mark out portions so people know exactly how much they're supposed to be having. This is particularly good for things like a gatto, where it's very easy to put lines in the top so people know where to make their cut lines. All right, and again, it mentions there the labels. All right, and this could actually be made reference to people with special dietary needs. So you're actually thinking, well, this dish is suitable for a vegetarian, this dish is suitable for a celiac, this dish is suitable for a diabetic. It's going to make it very clear to people which foods are okay for them. And then lastly, to make a buffet look good, if lots of people are serving themselves all the time, we want to clean down regularly, and B, we want to make sure we top up the food so it looks really full. There'd be nothing worse if you've been stood in a queue waiting to get your food and you come up and there's basically most of the food's already gone. So we want to make sure that we top it up regularly so it looks full and appetizing. Okay, guys, so that's chapter 3. You've got a few questions on 48 and 49 that you can have a go at, but as I say, make use of the revision squares, chapter 3, go through, there's 25 questions there, all right, and throughout this little chapter that we've done, highlight your keywords, produce your mind maps, and produce your revision cards.